As we come to chapter 24 of Exodus, not only has God given the Ten Commandments, but He has laid out all the new laws for Israel to follow as a redeemed nation. That's what's given to us in chapter 20 with the Ten Commandments, in chapter 21, chapter 22, and chapter 23. Not only does God lay out the Ten Commandments, He lays out all of these new laws, these new rules that Israel was to follow. The crossing of the Red Sea was a defining moment in Israel. It not only signified Israel's deliverance from bondage, but it also gave God's design for a new nation that had a new future. That's where all these rules and laws come into place. So in recognition of that, Israel even publicly declared their commitment to obey all of these laws that God had required of them, specifically the ones that He wrote on the tablets of the Ten Commandments. Look here in chapter 24 and verse number 3, we see Israel publicly committing to obey the laws of this new nation with a new future. Notice what the Bible says, "And Moses," verse 3, "came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments." Stop right here for just a moment. Chapter 20 with the Ten Commandments, chapter 21, 22, and 23 with all the rules. This was God telling Moses what the children of Israel were supposed to do. Moses writes down these laws, and now he communicates it to the people. Moses, the leader, is now telling Israel, the people, what we've already studied in the Ten Commandments in chapter 21 through 23. And here's what happens. Moses tells the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. Look at verse 3. "And all the people answered with one voice." With one voice, in unity, they said, "All the words which the Lord has said, we will do." Well, that's encouraging. Here God lays out this whole new system, this whole new nation with new rules and new laws and charts a new future. And you would think with all of these things that God lays out, especially the ramifications for breaking them, that the people would buck the law, so to speak. But here in one voice, in unity together, they say, "Listen, all that God asks of us, we're going to do it. All the Ten Commandments, we're going to obey them. All the laws and the rules that He put forth and requested of us, we're going to follow it." They even do it again in verse number 7. Look there again in chapter 24, verse 7. "And he," Moses, "took the book of the covenant, and he read in the audience of the people." He took the law which was written. He read it, he preached it, so to speak. He gave it to Israel. Here's what Israel said: "All that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient." You know, that's really incredible to me. They knew they had been redeemed. They recognized that God had made them a new nation. And now they unanimously agreed to yield to the will of God. By the way, this should be our same response to the will of God. This should be our response to the book of the covenant. What is our book of the covenant? Well, it's not the Mosaic law, but it's the Word of God. The Word of God is given to us. It's the book of the covenant, and we should simply respond the same way Israel responded. How did they respond? They listened and obeyed. They listened and obeyed. Do you listen to the Word of God? Do you hear the Word of God? And most importantly, do you obey the Word of God? Are you yielded to it? Listen, the heart of your life and the heart of your home should be whatever the Lord says, we will do and be obedient. We will do and be obedient. Now, I know some of you Bible scholars are going to say, "Well, Pastor, it wasn't just but 2 days later that they disobeyed the law." Well, we'll get there and we'll talk about that. But you at least got to appreciate the fact that when they received it, they said, "Whatever the Lord says, we're going to do our best. We're going to do it. We're going to obey it. We're going to yield to it." I think oftentimes the problem with many Christians is that we want to negotiate everything with God. We don't find Israel negotiating the law. Well, Lord, we hear what you say about covetousness, but this whole lying thing, is there a little leeway on that? Lord, we understand that you can be stoned for adultery, but if we dishonor mom and dad, are you really going to stone us for that? There was no response like this. They weren't negotiating with God in relation to His will and to His commands and to His desire for their life. But why is it so often in our lives that when it comes to the will of God, we want to negotiate it? Lord, I understand what You're saying, but... Lord, I know what You're asking of me, however... Lord, I know what Your Word says, yet... That we want to negotiate with God's Word. Listen to me. Our hearts are not completely yielded to God until we have come to the place that whatever the Lord says, we will do. Whatever the Lord says, we will do. Whatever the Lord says, we will be obedient. Until we come to the place where that is our desire, that is our heart, we have not truly surrendered to God. We have not truly yielded to His will. The theme of chapter 24, in spite of what we see Israel doing here, the theme of chapter 24 is really meeting with God. That's the theme. That's the heart of the chapter. Picture this. The children of Israel are encamped at the foot of Mount Sinai, where Moses had received the Ten Commandments and the law. They're encamped at the foot of Mount Sinai. Moses is up on the mountain meeting with God. Now, the purpose of this meeting is to ratify God's covenant with Israel through the giving of the law, as well as give instruction for the building of the tabernacle, which we'll look in the weeks to come. Israel's at the foot of the mountain. Moses is up in the mountain. He's meeting with God. That's the heart of the chapter. It's about a man who meets with God. A man who meets with God. I ask you a question this morning. Are you meeting with God? Are you meeting with God? Well, Pastor, what kind of question is that? I'm here on Sunday morning. Of course I'm here meeting with God. That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes this becomes an entertainment venue rather than a meeting place. By the way, whether this is an entertainment venue to you or a meeting place has nothing to do with our program, our structure, or our platform ministry. It has everything to do with your heart as you come into this ministry. It has everything to do with your life as you enter into this place of worship. Do you come to see what you can view, or do you come to meet with God? But it goes so much further than what we do today. If this is the only time that you're meeting with God, you've got problems in your life that need to be fixed. Because as a believer, God wants you to meet with Him all the days of your life. Are you meeting with God? I want to give you three things that is involved in meeting with God that we learn here from Moses. Number one, what is involved in meeting with God? Number one, there is closeness involved. What's involved in meeting with God? Number one, closeness. Closeness. If you're meeting with God, listen to me. If you're meeting with God, there is going to be a closeness to God in your life. Closeness. No gaps. No distance. God is not going to feel like a force that is far away from you. No, He's going to be as close as the mention of His name. He's going to walk in the very presence of your life. If you're meeting with God, I mean you're truly meeting with God, you will automatically, inevitably, be close to God. Close to Him. Notice, if you will, a few phrases here in chapter 24. Notice in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And He said unto Moses, Come. Come up unto the Lord." If you have a habit of marking things in your Bible, underline that phrase, "Come up unto the Lord." He's requesting a closeness, a close meeting. Come, come unto, come to the Lord. Look at verse number 2. And Moses alone, what did he do? He came near the Lord. Moses came near the Lord, verse 1. Come up unto the Lord, verse 2. He obeyed. He went near the Lord. Look down to verse number 12. Find verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, here it is again, come up to me, come up to me in the mount. Come to me, come near to me, come unto me. In each instance, not only is there an invitation from the Lord, for which I am incredibly grateful for, that God desires to meet with me, that God petitions to meet with me, that God longs to come close to me. Not only is there an invitation from the Lord in each one of these instances, but there is a drawing near. There is a drawing near. There is a closeness of Moses to God. In other words, meeting with God is about you and I getting close to Him. Meeting with God is about you and I getting close, close, close to Him. Are you close to God today? I mean, really, are you close to God? I mean, you're like this. You're, as the disciples said in the book of John, we're followers, which meant we are attached to His hip. Wherever He goes, I go. I'm close to Him. I mean, do you feel intimacy with Christ? Intimacy in His presence? You've heard it said many times over and over again, but it's a truth that oftentimes I don't believe we fully understand. And that is, you and I are as close to God as we desire to be. Right now, whatever proximity there is between you and God, it is of your choosing. Because here we see God inviting Moses to come to Him. He's inviting Moses to get close to Him. He's inviting Moses to be attached to His hip. And whether or not that happened, it was on Moses, not on God. Because that day on Mount Sinai, Moses got as close to the glory of the Lord. He got as close to the presence of God as he wanted to be. James 4 and verse 8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Listen to me very carefully this morning. This is so convicting. But the distance that exists today between you and God, whatever that distance may be, the distance that exists between you and God is a distance that you have created. You have created that. God has not created that. Your spouse has not created that. Your circumstances have not created. Whatever distance, close or far away, is a distance that you, it's a distance that I have created with God. Because God longs to be close to you. God longs to be close to His people. Why Jesus said in John chapter 15, one of the most phenomenal passages in all the Bible, He says in verse 4, abide in me, abide in me, get close to me, stay fixed with me, abide in me, and I will abide in you. How do I get close to God? I think it takes time. You got to spend time with God. It takes love. You got to love Him. It takes trust. You got to long to need Him, long to call upon Him, long to pray with Him. And God is certainly doing something in my heart and life. This is putting me back into the place where I need Him more than ever before. And sometimes that means I have to rearrange some things in my life. For a church to get to a place where they are close to God, it means they have to rearrange some things in their ministry. Because there's only one thing that really matters today in your life, no matter your circumstances. And that is, are you close? Do you feel a need in your life, a longing, that you need Him? Have we created an environment in our church where we are so dependent upon one another that we've lost our dependence upon God? Have we experienced so much success in such a short amount of time that it has lessened our need to call upon Him? There's really only thing that matters today in your life, and that is, are you close to God? I find it interesting that Moses got so close to God that the Bible says that they saw God. Now, this doesn't mean that they actually saw Him in His fullness, for the Scripture says in the book of John that no man has seen God at any time. But the description here is that of a resemblance of God. As a matter of fact, in verse 10, the proof of this is the only thing that they can really see in detail, and even that wasn't even very clear, was that which was under His feet. Verse 10, it says, "And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under His feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone." So the only thing that they really could see was what He was standing on, and even that wasn't very clear. It was as it was. It looked like, it seemed to be sapphire stone. Now what's interesting about this, is those who get close to God begin to see Him in the ways that He manifests Himself. You may never see Him in His fullness, because the Bible says God is a spirit and no man has seen God at any time. We may not see Him in His fullness, but we can see God's glory manifested in our lives. In other words, the closer we get to God, the more evidence we see of God in our lives. Meeting with God means there's closeness to God. Number two, meeting with God means there is worship in our lives. There's worship. What's involved with meeting with God? A closeness. A worship. Verses 4 through 6. I'm not going to go read all of these verses in verses 4 through 6. But for sake of note-taking, understand that the point comes from these verses. Moses is building an altar here. The act of building an altar and offering sacrifices unto God, as Moses does here, was a form of worship. Moses got close to God, and his closest prompted a natural response of worship. Let's go ahead and read it just so that we can see it. Look at verse 4. "And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning." He rose up early in the morning. It takes work to get close to God. "He rose up early in the morning. He builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar." What is he doing here? He is worshiping. Why? Because closeness to God prompts a natural response of worship. You see, genuine worship is not unnatural to him who meets with God. You really need to think about that. Genuine worship is not unnatural to him who meets with God. Moses comes near to the Lord. What's his first response? Build an altar. Pray. Call upon God. Worship. Offer sacrifices of praise unto the Lord. And could it be that because week after week we come to a place, or maybe it's unnatural for us to sing, it's unnatural for us to pray, it's unnatural for us to lift our hands in praise to God. Could it be that the reason it is so unnatural is because we're not close to Him? Well, this is just how I'm made up. It's just my emotion. You show me an Old Testament prophet. You show me an individual in the New Testament, a time when the Holy Spirit showed up, when God got close, where things didn't automatically take place in worship. We've seen the extremes of so many varieties of church today. that we put a bridle, so to speak, on what God says needs to be natural. Worship. Hebrews 13:50. By Him, therefore, by Jesus, by God, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We are to offer praise and worship by our hearts, by our hands, by our lips. And when should this worship occur? According to Hebrews, He says it should occur continually. This should just be the culmination of your worship. What we do here on Sunday should just be the climax of what you've done on Monday, what you did on Tuesday, how you met with them Wednesday. I'm talking about driving down the road. I'm talking about in the privacy of your home. I'm talking about along with the Bible, along with the book. I mean, you're worshiping Him with your heart. You're continually worshiping Him with your hands. You're continually giving praise with your lips. The closeness to God prompted His worship. Can I ask you a question this morning? What is it that prompts your worship? What is it that causes you to pray? What is it that's got you calling on God right now? What is it? What is it that causes you to sing? What is it that causes you to give thanks? Is it good circumstances? As long as the circumstances are good, I'll sing. As long as the circumstances are good, I'll give thanks. Maybe the opposite is true. Maybe the only time you pray like you're praying now is because the circumstances are not so good. Is it circumstances that prompt your worship? Is it a good mood that prompts your worship? I raise my hand, I sing, I pray, I do this only when I'm in a good mood. But the Sundays I wake up in a bad mood, there's not going to be very much worship from me. So what you're saying is, it's not your proximity to God that declares your worship. No, it's your mood, it's your personality, it's how you feel today. Not Spirit-filled worship, fleshly worship. Is it a moving song? I love our music. I love the time and prayer that Brother Jared invests into leading us in heartfelt worship. But is that the only time you worship? Only when the song is emotionally moving in your life? Here's what I'm trying to say. It is closeness to God. It is closeness to God. It is closeness to God that should prompt our worship regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the environments, and regardless of the emotions that are involved. You see, when you and I are close to God, we will continually worship Him. It will come natural. Natural. Hebrews 2:12 says, I will declare Thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto Him. I love a song that's often sung. Chris Tomlin, I believe, sings it. We are made to worship. It's what you're here to do. You've been made to worship. It ought to be the natural response. Moses meets with God and we see there's a closeness to God. Moses meets with God and we see there's worship. Notice number three, and this is really moving. Notice that number three, what is involved in meeting with God? Number three, there is acceptance. There's closeness, there's worship. Number three, there's acceptance. Now this is a powerful thought. I'm not going to go back and reread verses 15 through 18, but what we see here is Moses is climbing up Mount Sinai. As Moses is climbing up Mount Sinai, a cloud begins to cover the top of the mountain. Now that cloud was a representation of the glory of God. It represented the presence of God. It was such a powerful declaration of God's glory that it looked like to the children of Israel who were at the base of the mountain, the foot of the mountain, it looked like to him that there was this consuming fire devouring the mountain. I don't believe it was a volcanic mountain, but that's kind of the picture that we're giving here. That they were sitting at the foot of this mountain. They look up and they see this cloud, this smoke, this fire that seems to be consuming the mountain. But it was in that cloud. which was not a consuming fire. No, it was in that cloud that existed the presence of God. The glory of God. And that's what Moses was climbing to. He was climbing up the mountain to get to the presence of God. And the Bible says that he journeyed for 6 days before he ever got into the cloud. 6 days. I believe that those 6 days of climbing the mountain to get close to God teaches us the point that it takes work to get close to God. It takes work. Closeness to God doesn't just happen. We can't just mentally assert that I want to be close to God and we think we're going to be close to God. No, that journey from the foot of the mountain to the cloud at the top of the mountain, that 6 day journey understands that it takes work to get close to God. And that's the problem. The problem is many of us are so lazy spiritually that we'll never be close to God because it takes too much work. It takes too much work to get out of the bed and read our Bibles. It takes too much work to pray. It takes too much work to be faithful to church. It's too much work. It's too much climbing. The mountain is too big. The hill is too rough. 6 days is so long. And that's why many of us never get in the glory cloud. The presence of God. But on the seventh day, Moses was invited. Took him 6 days to get close, but on the seventh day, Moses was invited into the midst of the cloud. He was welcomed into the presence of God. And it was in the presence of God that he saw the glory of God. Don't miss the significance of this. God bringing Moses into the cloud was God's way of accepting Moses into His presence. And what's even more powerful than that was that Moses was able to abide there, verse 18 says. He abided there. He tarried there. He stayed there for 40 days and 40 nights. Think about this. God invited him. God accepted him into His presence, into the cloud. And there he lived. He lived in that cloud. He lived in that presence. He lived in the glory of God for 40 days and 40 nights. Some scholars believe the phrase 40 days and 40 nights used in the Hebrew language was a symbolic term for just a long time. It could be literal. It could be symbolic. We don't know. But the bottom line is, he lived in the presence of God for quite a while. Not just 60 minutes on a Sunday morning. He stayed there. I want you to think about this. This awesome yet humbling teaching of Scripture is that God accepts me. God accepts me. God accepts you into His presence when I long to meet with Him. He doesn't reject me. He doesn't cast me to the side. When I go to God and want to be in the glory cloud, He doesn't say no. No, the Bible says in this New Testament age of grace, the special dispensation of the Holy Spirit, that you and I have been given a privilege to go into the presence of God, which is where He accepts me. He allows me to get there. He lets me stay there. Meeting with God means there's an acceptance of God in my life. Hebrews 10 and verse 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That means boldness to go into His presence by a new and living way. What way is that? The way of Jesus, which He had consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. He says, since God accepts us, since God lets us go in the glory cloud, since God lets me go into His presence, let us draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He says, since God accepts me into His presence, let me go there. Let me live there. Let me get in the cloud. Because He wants me there. I want to encourage you this morning to know that God loves you. God accepts you. And God longs Are you meeting with God? What's it going to take for you to get serious about walking with the Lord, being close to Him, being close to Him, being close to Him and living your life in worship of Him? The good news is you can start today. Right now, you can decide to climb that mountain. Get close to God. Watch the worship that will change your life. And feel the acceptance of God. That's the lesson from Exodus 24. A reminder that God wants to meet you.